from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis.
Caleb Downs. I'm a University of Michigan Wolverine.
I'm not going to get up now. That's just
earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Stacy Dales. NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Chief Operating Officer and co-owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Stephen Jones. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, final hour of our four-day residency here in Indianapolis for the 2026 Scouting Combine. On the air here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and ESPN Radio Sirius XM Channel 80. Carson Beck making his way to our set, but we kick off hour number three with our colleague from ESPN, from NFL Live, and so many other shows. Mina Kimes, good to see you, Mina. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really happy to be in Indianapolis this year.
You are?
The weather's not that bad. You know, we're from L.A. We're
yes,
babies.
Right.
I was prepared for the worst, and it's actually been pretty mild.
Okay. Very good. And then do you do the traffic as well? This is a great city for the Combine, and I hope it never moves. It's really great. Yeah. I mean the studio that you're emanating from is the stadium.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. And, you know, it's the first time that you and I have chatted since you were part of one of the biggest nights of my career.
Oh my goodness,
Mina,
we gotta
being
do it
there
again.
I will do it. I'm going to do another Sports Center soon. The date has been picked. I mean, I don't know how okay. This stuff gets announced, but
that was a
but
blast.
That was an amazing night. I'm glad that you were there for.
I was honored to be a part of it. It was so much fun. And also, when I think back to like the football we talked, I remember we were like, "Wow, the Bengals defense." Not
looking good.
And lo and behold,
yeah, I know.
It proved to be their undoing.
I know. It was the Commanders versus the Bengals on a Monday night during the preseason. Your Seahawks winning it all. Mm. How do you feel it will resonate in the NFL? Because, you know, it's a copycat league.
That's right, yeah.
And the copycatting begins in an event like this, where tonight the defensive backs, everyone's going to see. They certainly won't let the next Nick Emanwori slip to the second round. But like, I'm just wondering how you see the way the Seahawks won it and the way that this league might try to copycat it. What do you
think? It's a great question. It obviously starts with defense. That was the identity of the team. It was the signature of the Super Bowl, right? It was how dominant they were. But I think what's tricky from a copycat perspective is there are so many reasons why that defense was elite, starting with the coaching. Mike McDonald, I think, is now the preeminent defensive mind of football. You're seeing his tree, by the way, proliferate. You got like Jesse Minter right now, you know, going back to Baltimore. I think that defense, that style will be in vogue in part and because of it. And when I say that style, I'm talking about the Seattle defense that rarely played base, meaning rarely put three linebackers on the field. Nick Emanwori was in many ways the skeleton key to their ability to play in sub packages, nickel and dime, but still defend the run. So every team around the league wants to do that. Great. Can we play too high, not put linebacker on the field to still be sound on the run? You need really good players to do that.
Right.
Not just Emanwori, edges who can defend the run really well. Linebackers, the spine of that defense, was so elite. So it's not as simple as saying one player like an Emanwori could unlock it, but a player like him is part of that plan.
Right. And then just the ability to stay fresh on a defensive rush front over and over
Waves
and over again.
The
Obviously, the Eagles were doing that the year before also. And then last night, I mean, all those,
oh my gosh.
Right? I mean, that performance that we saw last night from both groups 100% there's enough defenders that you could potentially go and draft and add to your complement and try and do what the Seahawks just did.
I really like the top defensive linemen in this draft, who you're alluding to, some of the performances, like a David Bailey. And when you watch his tape, you see what an incredible athlete he is. So it's only the combine, as you know, is in many ways just kind of reinforcing what we see on tape with some of these athletic numbers. But when you see like a him or a Sonny Styles or a Reese put on a show, it lines up with what you saw all season long. And for teams that are considering drafting them in the top five, it's reassuring that they're making the right decision.
What do you think Darnold doing what he's done will, again, resonate as we're about to see from, you know, what your colleagues at ESPN and mine at NFL Network, soon to be all colleagues together, are basically pegging 4 or 5 quarterbacks who are going to get cut.
Mm.
And folks, Tua, Kyler, Kirk Cousins, just to name three. Geno Smith is another one that we're just wondering how to win Super Bowls and how Darnold just did it on his fifth team. How you think that's going to resonate?
You know, I think even more so than like, is this a first rounder who, you know, struggled and then has this kind of comeback story, which I think is that, you know, we're looking for that, right? But I think maybe setting that aside, watching him and thinking about how that team was built, you really see the appeal of the middle class quarterback, because Darnold wasn't making top end money. He was paid pretty good. I think he was in the $40 million, but just 40s,
no big. No, but when you're talking about Tua and Kyler.
But yeah, when you're talking about guys who are making 55
Trevor
plus
Lawrence
and whatnot.
As well. Sure.
So if you're a team like a Minnesota who let him go, or, you know, Pittsburgh, for example, there, I think, is some appeal taking a veteran who you know is already pretty further along in their development and not having to pay them top-end quarterback money, I would say, compared to even drafting a guy, which is obviously what Minnesota did.
Yeah, and thus trying to stick with him or commit to him, or the idea that they were going to have to commit to him because they drafted him, is a reason why Darnold is saying, apples to apples, I'm going to a spot where I'm going to be the starter and I can start my own way, right? And now you're trying to figure out whether you can, even in the salary cap world of $300 million, as it was announced today, having a quarterback at $30 million, $40 million, and you're able to do that, that's the stuff,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's it.
I look at a Kyler, to me, as being really appealing.
Why?
Because I think he, more than anyone else you mentioned, potentially fits that mold of somebody who's been, and the say this about Kyler going into this offseason versus Sam Darnold going into Seattle.
Yes.
Kyler had higher highs. I mean, people forget 2020, Kyler Murray was an MVP candidate. Even 2 years ago, I thought Kyler Murray was playing pretty good football, but he's had so many injuries and there's been streakiness and inconsistency.
Yes.
If I'm a team that's pretty well built and I look at him and think, I don't have to pay, I can pay him like the middle class salary we're talking about, I would find that really appealing.
The guy I would go get would be Mac Jones.
San Francisco is really going to be asking a lot. I
don't care. Because I know. Listen,
I like him. I thought he was great this year.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, if you're looking who the next Sam Darnold is,
yeah,
I'm going to go with a guy who started in the AFC East, drafted in the first round, didn't work out, had to bounce around, went to the Kyle Shanahan reboot camp, you know what I mean? And let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
That would be sort of a flyer I would take, more than certainly acquiring Kyler Murray's contract. I'm just assuming what you mean is after he's cut.
Yeah,
right?
Right, yeah.
That's the way you would take a shot, right? So that's what I would do. And you're already hearing from here, Ben Johnson talking about, we're getting calls on Tyson Bagent.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I think this is where teams are thinking right now, is like, let's try and price somebody's second quarterback and see if that could be the next Darnold here.
If we're talking trades, I'll throw out another name that intrigues me.
Please.
Tanner McKee in Philadelphia.
Why is that? There's a lot of times that I've heard his name too.
Yeah,
sure.
Just the tape that he's put out, whether it's in the preseason or in limited starts, there's a lot to like in terms of accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
I would say similarities to a couple of the quarterbacks you mentioned in some way. And I think if you're a team who doesn't like this draft, and that's pretty common for the and you're willing to part with the draft pick, but you don't want to spend a ton of money. It makes sense.
Right. Mina Kimes here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the rest of the combine, you're looking forward to seeing what here? Like, what are you interested in before you? Because you're here today and then gone tomorrow. But what are you looking forward to seeing?
So a lot of the – every time I say a name, I get told, no, he's actually not running. He's not working out.
Yeah, I know.
So
you and me both, and I'm calling the combine.
I'll throw out a name that I think is incredibly athletic, and I hope he's working out. I thought he was. Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end out of Oregon.
Right.
Who is just – I think he's best tight end in the draft. And I think it would behoove him to work out because you could put on a show. He's just so athletic.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we've seen too, Rich, is tight ends have been – producing a lot earlier than they have in the past. I mean, think about the three tight ends last year, Warren, Loveland, Fannin Jr., all really good year one. The NFL has changed a lot. I think play callers are better at finding ways to call offense for these college tight ends as they come into the league. So if I was a team like Chargers, maybe, I don't know, who's looking for a complete tight end who blocks too, I think he's a great name.
Okay. And on the quarterback side, who do you think is the second best? Because it is you are you of the mindset that Mendoza's okay? Because I know some of our colleagues feel a little bit differently on that, but Mendoza is
pretty clearly.
There's no question. There's no doubt who he is. I feel the same way. So then who's two in your mind?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be Ty Simpson out of Alabama, and I think you know, with him, that there's just a lot of speculation. It's like JJ a few years ago with coming out of Michigan, like he hasn't played that much. And I think it's also, you look at the season and it was such a roller coaster. I mean, the beginning of the season looked so different from the end of season. Even within games, you would see him make like a spectacular throw and then a couple of plays later panic under pressure. So I think for whoever takes him, ideally it would be a spot where he doesn't have to play immediately.
Right.
And I think if there's a team who thinks he's going to start right away, that would be a mistake.
What do you think about the Rams? Do you think they're going to use one of their picks on any of these quarterbacks? Because I kind of feel like if you got Stafford one more time, you load up.
That's how I feel, too. I mean, right. I think, yes, if it was a quarterback available mid-round, sure. But I just think the Rams have these valuable draft picks early. The clearly pass defense was a need that was exposed during the postseason run. Personally, I would go all in on this iteration of the team because I think many of us saw that they were obviously the second best team in football this year.
Are you also of the mindset that defense of the NFC Championship game was the de facto Super Bowl? Just reminding you.
Very reminiscent of Super Bowl 48 too, right? When the Seahawks played the 49ers, the famous Richard Sherman game.
Right.
And then the Super Bowl was anticlimactic. Felt a lot like that this year, too.
So you are of that mindset.
Yeah, similar, yeah.
And the Seahawks need to do what to repeat?
Well, they got to figure out what they're going to do with a lot of their free agents. There's a bunch. Tariq Woolen, Josh Job, who I thought was really good for them as a outside corner. Kenneth Walker, of course, the MVP. Boye Mafe. So it'll be Rashid Shaheed. So they actually really have a lot of money. I say weirdly because we don't usually associate a Super Bowl team with having so much cap space, but they've drafted so well. They have some room to maneuver. So they'll be able to bring back some of those guys. I think positionally, just addressing whoever leaves, frankly, and then guard. But they're in a great spot.
I think Woolen's going to be expensive.
I think so, too.
And I don't know what they're going to do with Kenneth Walker. What is your best guess?
I think they want to keep him.
Sure.
But I think if what he wants is top, like, and money.
Why wouldn't he ask for it, right?
Well, I would say I don't know if that's what the market looks like for him. There's a ton of really good free agent running backs, which tends to bring prices down. It's why Dallas was able to sign Javonte Williams to like $8 million a year, really affordable contract. So if you're Seattle, you're like, do I want to pay twice that, knowing that we can get like a middle class running back, like a Kenneth Gainwell or a Rico Dowdle, you know, so I think,
sure.
Or draft someone in the mid rounds.
Yeah, Dowdle is available.
Dowdle's, there's a bunch of players. Algier, there's a lot of really good backs. So.
Well, thanks for coming on here.
This is so much fun.
I really
fun.
Appreciate it. And anytime, you know that. And are you ready for us to all join forces?
I want to run it back on SportsCenter at night.
We'll do that. Well, I mean, that was part, like, I mean, I kind of already am half, you know, halfway there with the Disney,
that's true.
You know, relationship. But all of us at NFL Network we're fired up about the future here, even though we have no idea what it's going to look like. But I have a feeling like if we flash forward to 1 year from now, I think we're all going to be part of a combine coverage.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Maybe get you out there on the field yourself.
Ooh, that'd be fun. I've never actually done that.
So. Is that right?
I've never been there.
Well, there we go. Mina Kimes right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Carson Beck is making his way to our set. And then Andrew Siciliano will take you the rest of the way as I head off to NFL Network for night two. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio back here with us. Carson Beck from the U on the Rich Eisen Show. So, you know, when I was talking last year with, say, Tyler Shuck, okay, and he had a ton of experience, and he also said, I am above a lot of the people that might be in my group. He was very humble about it, talking about a lot of starts, different places, overcoming injury. That sounds like a professional quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. And that, do you feel similar to what I just basically described, that you've already experienced a lot of what a professional quarterback experiences?
I mean, 100%, you know. Again, I was at Georgia and Miami, so that's the different places. The injury, obviously, last year with the elbow and having to go through that and rehab through that. And then the experience. Again, you know, like I just said, 40-plus games, you know, a lot of big-time games, too. You know, being at Georgia and, you know, the top 10 matchups. And then this past year, making the playoff run, playing against a bunch of top 10 teams. It's been a great experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
What would you say to pound the table that you're a first-round draft choice, Carson Beck?
I think, again, my experience, you know, holds itself, and then the mental side of the game, the processing, the ability that I have there, I think is what I'm really good at and what I'm able to really bring to the table, and the way that I'm able to run offense and do what I need the coach to tell me to do.
Which teams have you had meetings with?
Shoot, a lot.
Have you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
There's a ton to go through. So.
All right. The top 10 teams?
Yeah.
Have reached out to you and sat down and put you on the grease board?
Yes,
stuff
sir.
Like that? Mm-hmm. What's the weirdest question you've been asked?
The weirdest question? I don't think I've been asked any weird
nothing
questions. No, it's all been pretty straightforward, no really gotcha questions or weird questions. It's been really cool to get to, you know, sit down and have that opportunity to talk to these coaches, GMs, owners, all these, you know, different people that, again, they're looking for players, and they got so many guys running through the door the whole entire day. To, you know, have that opportunity to be one of those guys is really, really cool.
Well, I mean, there's only two guys at this combine. One is obviously the de facto first overall selection in Fernando Mendoza, and then there's you, who played in the final game of college football this year. What was that like for you waking up that morning on national championship game day, Carson? What was that like?
It was cool. Obviously, there was a lot of emotion there, and just super grateful to, you know, have made it there, to have that team that we had around me, to have those coaches and all of us, all the work that we put in to be able to get to that moment, right? And everything that we worked for, obviously, it didn't end the way that we wanted to. We lost to a really good Indiana team. They're really well prepared and played. I mean, they played their butts off. You know, they're able to, you know, obviously win in the end, and we weren't, which obviously sucks. It's not how we envisioned it going. But again, to be able to make it to that moment with that team and to see how much work we put in through all the doubt, through all everybody said that we weren't going to be there, right? We almost didn't make it into the playoffs in the first place. So again, super proud of those guys. And, you know, to wake up that morning and have that opportunity to do that was really, really cool.
And then the guys on the goats on the sidelines, you know, my guy Irv with the belt hitting the Gatorade jug, Ray Lewis. He came up to you right before the final drive, did he?
Yeah, he did. He did come up to me. You know, he did the same thing in the Ole Miss game, which I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean? Walk me through that.
Just like, you know, when Ray Lewis comes up and talks to you on the sideline, it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's freaking Ray Lewis, you know? So,
right.
Again, so my dad actually played linebacker at the Naval Academy. So, me growing up, I always wanted to play defense. Like, he was like, nah, you're going to play quarterback, you know? I guess my dad saw the potential at a young age.
Yes, but it's good.
I always looked up to Ray Lewis. You know, he's one person that I always looked up to, wanted to be like the way he carried himself, a fierce competitor, someone who's not afraid of anything. And then to be in these playoff games and the national championship, and you got someone that I've looked up to my whole entire life coming up and talking to me to give me encouragement at, I mean, that's freaking cool.
That is pretty cool. And you've had some really cool experiences, and now comes spinning it at the combine. What do you want teams to think about you when you're done with your workout here on Saturday, Carson?
Yeah, absolutely. I think first and foremost, just that I'm a competitor. You know, this is something that I've dreamed of my whole entire life, to have this opportunity to come to the combine, come compete at the combine. Go throw with a bunch of other guys and just have fun, you know. So, again, what their opinion of me is obviously is left up to them. And mm-hmm. But for them, I want them to know that I'm a competitor and that, you know, I'm here to work and go have fun.
Because it is wide open to be a first round draft choice at the quarterback spot in this draft, Carson. Right? I mean, like, you're finally putting your name in for an NFL draft, and you have an opportunity to compete and do for yourself what many people think might not be possible. Does that go through your head at all?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that would be a super cool opportunity, and even just having the opportunity to go anywhere, wherever it is, right, is for me, and especially with this last year that I went through with the elbow, the injury, the surgery, rehabbing from that, to even have an opportunity to be at this combine and to have an opportunity to be drafted is a blessing within itself. So wherever I land, you know, I'll be super grateful for that opportunity.
I wish you the best of luck with it, sir.
Thank you so much.
That's Carson Beck right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just real quick before we let all of you go, teams take a timeout sometimes to regroup and call the right play. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan. They're not just windows and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts install them. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. We'll be back on the Rich Eisen Show from Indianapolis in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
We welcome you back to the Rich Eisen Show. Hi, I'm your substitute teacher.
My name is Andrew Siciliano.
It's good to be back. Rich did the reverse Superman again. He put the suit on right here, and then he ran down the hall to get over to the combine for night number two. So, yeah. Happy to sit in. And Chris and TJ
good
are here.
Good to see you, buddy.
As
Chuck
well.
G.
It was great after the show yesterday to walk over to Lucas Oil Stadium to sit there. You guys did not bring stopwatches, which was a bit disappointing.
Well, I was using my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I have
the iPhone
multiple
does everything, so you can just kind of boop, boop, boop.
Okay, boop, 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 boop. And you were not caught sleeping on camera?
Stop it.
Glenn was sleeping.
Come on. No.
Okay, but there was a little point yesterday because there's a lot of dead time between.
A lot of dead time,
right? And it's awful quiet in that building too.
Very, very quiet. It has been present tense a long week, and there was a second there where I might have done that, and I was like, nope, because I'd already seen on the X, the Twitter machine, that Aaron Glenn was caught on camera.
People thought he might have been snoozing.
I don't think
second.
He was snoozing.
Rich assures us he was not snoozing.
Yeah, I don't
okay.
think so either. But
so you guys discuss that. It is, if anyone here watching in Indianapolis is going to go in, because fans can go in there, I do recommend, even though Cynthia Freeland does a really good job and Reggie Wayne down on the field keeping you entertained, it is also helpful if you have on your, you know, one of your devices, the ability to watch off your TV provider, the coverage, because it really does add a lot of context with, you know, Rich and DJ do such a great job providing historical context and the interviews in the suite.
Also,
a good time.
They don't show you the times. Or at least
there is a time when they switch over to the NFL Network broadcast up on that big screen, and you can see those scores.
Okay,
but they do not announce it.
Yeah,
David Bailey 451. No, they don't do that.
No, so that's why I was keeping my own time.
I will say, being in there for the defensive linemen, we've talked about it all show, how electric they were, the show the Ohio State guys put on. David Bailey, you just mentioned. You really can't put it in perspective unless you saw it in person. Yeah. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Those guys are big. They're fast. They are moving. Humans are not supposed to be that big and fast and that big and strong. And they are cooking. Man, that was... I know Rich said it too, and you kind of called your shot yesterday on Sonny Styles.
Yeah. So did Tom Pelissero, by the way. Earlier in the morning, Pelissero did that on GMFB, so we both planted that flag.
Well, Andrew, well Tommy P, friend of the show, is not here now. You are, so we're giving you the props.
That's right.
It was all me.
It was all you, baby.
It was all me.
It was all you.
Sonny Styles, what he was able to do, he won the Triple Crown yesterday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he ran the 4.46, which is fantastic. He had the best long jump. His long jump per for perspective, his long jump or broad jump.
It's
was,
like three of yous, I think.
It was also, it would have been the best from the entire combine last year. So it was better than Nicky Minwori, who had the best last year, went second round, had a great season for Mina Kimes, Seattle Seahawks. It would have been the best of last year. I mentioned the 40 time. His
vertical.
Thank you. That's the word.
The vert.
I thought you were just throwing your hands up in the sky.
Yeah. For comparison's sake, was better than Calvin Johnson in 07. So just to wrap your head around.
Andrew, I gave another comp. I said Kobe Bryant's vert was only 38 inches. So that'll give you a little better understanding of how high this man.
And Kobe was 6'7". Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And Sonny Styles is 6'4". What I do think it does realistically, and I don't know what Jets fan Rich said about this, I think it really changes the math. The Jets had a great night last night.
For sure.
Because if they want an edge like David Bailey, if they want Arvell Reese, who, by the way, we've barely talked about, he didn't do the drills, but he did run a 4.46.
Yeah, fast.
The same as Sonny Styles. He checked that box. If you want Reese, you now have to think about potentially Sonny Styles, if you weren't already. There's David Bailey with his 4.51. He told Stacey Dales during the broadcast, or during, that he's going to run his second because he thinks he could beat a 4.51. He didn't. He went 4.54 in his second one. The Jets are in a really good position now if they want to get out because they were able to prove, or those players were able to prove, that there's really good talent defensively there at two. Now, the Jets have their five number ones coming up. They don't have to get out. They could just stick and pick the best guy there.
That's what I would do.
But now, at least, there is talent there where teams say maybe it is worth it.
Yeah, think about the number one two pick. You mentioned the Jets had a good night. DJ was on earlier, talked about Arvell Reese. He's the guy with maybe more upside, whereas David Bailey put a lot of good stuff on tape. You saw the quality and the production that he produced this year. And DJ liked David Bailey at number two for the Jets, so I don't think you can really go wrong taking any of those three guys. Two's probably high for Sonny Styles, but you saw what he did last night. The measurables. Man, oh, man. That was phenomenal. I'm still blown away thinking about it.
And I'm not a Buckeye fan in any way whatsoever.
Obviously,
I work in Ohio State. I work in this state, rather, of Ohio. There are obviously Big Ten snark machines out there at Exco, and how did that team ever lose?
Sure.
Yeah, and one of them was sitting in that chair.
Kind of makes you wonder Hold how on. They
are
ever
you
lost?
Calling Rich a Big Ten snark machine?
Okay, maybe not a snark machine.
I wasn't going TJ.
But he definitely was of the thought of
not to be confused with the George Michael sports machine.
No, 362-4444. 202-362-4444. I grew up with that in Washington. That was back in the day, kids, when you didn't have these devices here.
You had to call
to give you the scores. And at the top of the hour, they would, you know, do a new one. And basically what it was somebody at Channel 4 DC, the NBC station, picking up the phone and reading into what was then an answering machine.
Whoa, what's that?
All the scores. And then we would call and get the scores. And we'd find out now that it's moved to the seventh inning at Shea. And that's what the score is.
Do you think all four of these Ohio State guys go in the top 10? That's been kind of what we've been talking about today.
So, I mean, the top 10... That's a lot, because remember, there are going to be offensive linemen that teams need. And there is a David Bailey, and there is a
Jeremiah Love,
Fernando Mendoza, and a Jeremiah Love. Right. I think Love, so the top 10 running back conversation, obviously, if there's a Bijan, if there's a Saquon, then yes, you take that guy. I do think that Jeremiah Love is that guy. And he was sitting here before, and obviously I'm sure Rich loved when he said that I almost went to Michigan rather than Notre Dame.
I don't know if he loved it.
Okay.
Oh, man, that was
it
so funny.
Affected him.
Well, loved it when he said that I kind of sort of did want to go there.
Yeah.
Did I mishear that? There was
Michigan.
Love.
No. Oh, yeah.
From
no,
Love.
Yeah.
And then he told me after the interview, he goes, it was Michigan's fault I didn't go, so.
What's Love got to do with it? It's just a secondhand emotion.
Say
got,
it again.
Got to do with
you,
it.
You know that.
Got to do it.
Love I think love. He is that running back that you do try to move up if you really do need that piece.
I kind of think so, too.
He's that
dynamic,
special.
Man.
He really is. Carnell Tate was on the podium today, said, I'm the best receiver in the draft because I am the complete package.
I can't argue with that.
I can't argue with that. I was kind of impressed, honestly, with Denzel Boston from UW, from Washington today on the podium. He is every bit of 6'4 standing up there. He was funny. Our Stacey Dale said, how would you describe your wingspan? You're a big guy. Stacey, college basketball legend. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she had a wingspan. And he said, vacuum cleaner.
Oh.
It was funny.
That's funny. Good line.
And he waited his turn there at Washington behind a bunch of guys, then went on to NFL success. All he did was score 20 touchdowns in his last 2 years. This is not a big wide receiver class. Carnell Tate's got size. Denzel Boston's got size. There are a lot of, like, yoked up 5'11 dudes in this draft.
I can relate as a yoked up 5'11.
Yes, of course. You know what I mean? There's no way you're 5'11. You're 5'11?
You think I'm taller?
No, I think you're like 5'10.
Oh, wow.
You're 5'11?
Really? You're going to come at me about
it? No, I know I'm not tall.
Wow.
I'm noted short person, Andrew Siciliano. No.
Thought you might.
Okay, maybe you're 5'11.
Thanks.
I don't know. You got shoes on.
Appreciate that.
Okay.
I'm 6'3, so there's that.
Okay. Yeah, you're legit.
I was literally just trying to make a quick joke, and we've turned this into something awkward.
He's got the size. Zachariah Branch, who I had never seen in person, saw him today. As a fellow small person, he was not big.
Yeah.
Like, there were a bunch of people going, oh, okay. Now, he plays a heck of a lot bigger and faster, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
He is dynamic when he is in the open field. When he's actually out there in pads and a helmet, man, he is electric. But I was, as a person who notes other small people, like he was not large.
Is there a small person nod that you guys do? You know what I mean?
Like a handshake?
Well, you know, talking about Larry when he came in. Larry David came in.
Right,
we were talking
guys.
A ball nod.
He just said like a bald nod.
I said there's a brother nod, and Larry said he knew about that. So is there like a small guy?
Is there like a, you know?
I don't know that there's a nod. Mm-hmm. I think there's like a I see you mutual respect thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, do I walk down the street going, are there other short people here?
Maybe I see this?
One over there.
Where are my short kings at?
Where are you at?
Yes.
You know
what I mean? No.
Nothing like that. Okay.
No, but there's also like the whole aspect of the short joke. Every now and then, like, I'll look at the camera. I'll do the Mike Gundy here. I'm a man. I'm 50. Every now and then, somebody will drop a short joke on me. I'm like
I didn't know that.
Dude, like
really?
I was bar mitzvahed at this height. I'm okay with it. Like, I understand. I'm not tall. If you think at my age that I'm still caught up on that,
you're wrong.
I'm over it.
I mean, it's like, I was bald at 24.
Exactly.
Like,
what are we in, junior high?
That's right. It's been a long time.
Like, that's your comeback? Like, occasionally the
hey, you're short.
Right, the social media people come at you, and you're like, really? Like, that's all you got? where were we? Denzel Boston. Yeah, he's got all the size. I thought the quarterbacks were a bit interesting today here as well on the podium. Mendoza said,
I mean, he's opposite the short.
He's not short. Yeah, and we saw him walking out yesterday as well. When we were walking out of the stadium, he was out here going to the NFLPA with TJ Hushmanzulli and doing the whole, you know, NFLPA orientation thing that all these players have to go through.
Hushmanzada?
Yeah, him too. But you don't remember the commercial, Hushmanzulli? Okay, champion.
But somebody at home was that's not his name.
Where's your daddy? Yeah.
Him too. So he said all the right things on the podium today.
Yep.
And that's the headline. He was asked about, you know, what would you say to the teams, like the schools that passed him over coming out of high school? He said, nothing.
You're right.
Yeah. Like, I'm okay.
He genuinely seems 100% likable. And like, I kind of don't like him because of that.
What does that say about you?
A lot. Brockman likes a guy that has a little edge to him.
You know, I guess I like a little edge, but maybe that's his edge, is that he, there, you know, it isn't one. He's not rough around the edges like some other players we've seen come out of the draft, like Johnny Manziel, so, or, you know, just an example, you know? So we'll see. I'm excited for him. I think that talking about, you know, obviously going to the Raiders, that's going to be the best-selling jersey in the NFL next year, right?
More
the,
than likely. You would have to think so.
The Mendoza 15.
Yeah. Here, do you want to hear him talk about the Raiders
and
Tom Brady?
Sure, let's say it again. Yeah, let's
we have
it.
A tape.
We got.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't admired Tom Brady, guys? I mean, more Super Bowl rings than anybody. So that opportunity would be fantastic. Tom Brady, I believe, is the greatest quarterback of all time by a wide margin, and to be able to have the opportunity to be mentored by him would mean so much, and especially to learn, and I'm all about learning. So from day one, you know, I got to learn a lot, and it's going to be a long journey, and to potentially have a mentor like that would be pretty impressive and pretty meaningful.
What's not to like?
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And he had a phenomenal year. Heisman Trophy, Natty, you don't see that too often. So, you know, he's very accomplished. He's going to go number one, and best of luck to him.
And a year ago today, as we were all sitting here, maybe not in these chairs, but as we were all sitting here a year ago today, nobody, this many people,
zero, man,
could have ever projected Mendoza going number one.
Zero.
Zero humans.
Zero.
Zero.
So as we look ahead to the 2027 draft, the greatest draft of all time, of course.
Yeah.
This one's not good, and that one is going to be good, which is not really the case. Just remember, there is a chance that a quarterback that we have not even begun to contemplate could be the number one overall.
Well, that's 2 years in a row. It's Mendoza this year. Cam Ward last year.
Now, the difference being is that Cam Ward was a really interesting guy coming out of Washington State. And a year ago in the transfer portal, maybe he goes to Ohio State. Remember,
right.
I think it was Chris Carter who mentioned something, or Ryan Clark. Online, I can't remember, that he might go to Miami, that he might go in the draft, and he was kind of like the free agent that everybody wanted on the college quarterback circuit.
Yep.
And then he ended up in Miami. He was part of the conversation. People liked Mendoza at Cal. They did. But I don't know that anyone was
you couldn't have seen this past season coming.
No.
Definitely not.
All right. Not at all. Stephen Jones was sitting in these chairs earlier, and Cowboys had now officially placed the franchise tag. My friend Jory Epstein at Yahoo, with whom I do a show there every day, Inside Coverage, check it out, says it is not the exclusive tag. So he could potentially go negotiate with whomever. Mm-hmm. No one is going to give the Cowboys two number ones for George Pickens. That's simply, the days where somebody plants a flag on a franchise tag and says, we're going to give up those two number ones, that day is over.
Right. Done.
So $28 million. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to sign it. And if you're the Cowboys, I think you reasonably have to ask, because most people say, we're going to put the tag on, and then we're going to work out a long-term deal. I don't think the Cowboys want to work out a long-term deal.
No, you were saying this earlier. What makes you say that? Because I'm interested.
I think that they think that George Pickens, again, on a prove-it-to-me one-year $28 million, is safer organizationally than guaranteeing three times that money in a long-term deal.
It's a business move.
If George Pickens were to hit the open market right now, he'd clearly get a big bag.
Yeah.
How many teams, though, would go, do we really want to guarantee 3 to 4 years for him? Are we certain that we'll be happy with that deal 3 years out? Now, the Cowboys and Steven sat right here and said, hey, we want him here a long time. But does long time mean a series of franchise tags? Or at least two. You never want to go to a third.
That's an excellent question, man. I guess my thing is, why all the uncertainty?
Well, because Mike Tomlin gave up on him. That's why.
There's a reason, George. This is not character assassination.
But we don't know what this is.
It's well documented. There's a reason he went to the second round.
Yeah.
There's a reason Mike Tomlin said,
right,
we're good.
Which, you know, when he dealt with some of the other players that he had to deal with, I know that red flags were being raised. Like,
sure,
you stuck with these guys and you let this guy go.
I'm not saying bad guy, get him out of our building. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, do you really want to lock him up for major guaranteed money? Or are you comfortable with, you know what, we like the franchise tag here. Right. Most teams use the tag as a placeholder.
Yeah.
I think the Cowboys are using it as, That's your one-year deal, $28
million. Yeah, or motivation. Look, we saw what type of production George was able to throw out when he was playing for potentially a new deal. He was unbelievable last year, especially when CeeDee Lamb was out. And so maybe you throw that in front of him again. Hey, look, we're going to give you $28 million. Thank you for your service last year. You were spectacular. You deserve it. Let's see you do it again. Earn it again. And maybe that's the type of, you know, carrot that George might need.
Consider this as well. If you were to give him a long-term deal, CD makes 35?
It's in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it's in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Okay. So with the market naturally going up, the cap was announced at 301 today. Mm-hmm. So that goes up. 301, yeah. $301 million.
Yeah, $22 million boost from last
year. Okay. So you're going to give him more than 35. Let's say it's 37.
On a new deal, you mean?
On a new deal. Annually, yes. APY. Yes. Which means 60, 35, 30. You're going $132 million on quarterback, wide receiver out of 301 with an entire other roster to fill out. Now, the Bengals did allocate all those resources to one position room, and they go quarterback, wide receiver, and that's a lot of money. The T. Higgins deal, if you really dig down into it, there is an escape clause after this 1 year. They're not going to, but it's not nearly the guaranteed money that, from what I understand, truly was reported. But how much money, when you have to rebuild that defense, and a lot of that is with young players and they have two number ones, do you want allocated to those three jobs?
That's a great point.
I mean, look, you mentioned Cincinnati. They did it. They haven't made the playoffs. They haven't won a lot of games.
And they had statistically the worst tackling team in organized football.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't know.
I don't know, man. But then Stephen Jones sat here, TJ, and he saw what we saw at Lucas Oil on Thursday night.
He saw something.
Is very impressed. Would you want Dallas sitting at 12? Probably not going to get one of those three defensive stouts that we saw. Do you want him to move up and get one of those guys?
Yeah, this is all like it's all wide open, right? Like, you take these two first. Do you move down to get more picks?
I would.
That's kind of what my thinking was.
Yeah, they're at 12 and 20.
12 and 20. I don't know, man, but I think that's what I love about this whole process is we're going to find out very shortly what's happening. I'm not a guy in their meeting rooms. I don't know what these guys
are. I know, but could you imagine Sonny Styles?
Oh, wait.
With the star in his
head. Speaking
of
Sonny Styles, you have a list. We have 2 minutes.
Oh, let's go.
Time for your list.
Let's go.
Well, you know, Sonny Styles was the talk of the combine, right? So it made me think based upon what we were talking about yesterday. So I'm just going to give you a quick TJ's top five, right?
Oh, let's
go. These are my top five favorite people named Styles.
Okay.
Very simple.
Styles upon Styles is what I have.
Yes. I love this, dude. All right. Coming in at number five, we have singer, actor from Run Direction, Harry Styles.
Okay. Oh, yes.
You know, he's got that watermelon song that was really
hot.
That's
very good.
I've heard
people,
it.
People like that. Then we got future NFL star, Sonny Styles.
Okay.
And then we have actress, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay.
Julia Styles. Right?
I forgot about her.
And then number two from the locks, Andrew, I know you love this. We got Styles P. I get bye. You love Styles P.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
I got it now.
Yes. And then at number one, of course, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, just retired. You know, I'm big into wrestling. That's my man, the phenomenal AJ Styles. And that is TJ's top five people named Styles based upon Sonny Styles wrecking the combine.
Okay, that was that last guy was also the guy you mentioned yesterday.
Okay. No relation to Sonny. No. I saw Harry Styles once at Swinger's Diner in West Hollywood.
And?
At like 2 in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And shout out to Gangnam Styles. That could have been on the list.
Yeah, how's Gangnam Style?
Gangnam Style.
That's what I said. One more. Oh, you have one more.
We didn't do that.
You could put Gangnam Style in there.
You're a stylist.
How about that? I didn't even think about that.
Attaboy. Good to see you, Andrew. Thanks for coming by,
man.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me steer the ship here the final couple
what
of minutes.
What is Cleveland going to do at 6?
That was next thing I
was
asking.
Offensive line, wide receiver, Carnell Tate, you tell me. I don't think it's going to be a quarterback, I'll tell you that, because they badly need offensive line help. I would love a Carnell Tate sitting there, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying, wear the Chris Kardocki jersey, make it a Browns jersey. So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.